Let us start with a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage, help us to prepare the way for you in our lives, in our hearts, and the way we live. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we're looking at John the Baptist, and imagine the scene where there would have been hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming from Jerusalem and the whole of Judea, the whole of the Jordan area, to be drawn to the Jordan River to hear this slightly bizarre man, maybe a little bit dirty and smelly and bushy beard, wearing rather bizarre clothing, and certainly a very bizarre diet of locusts and honey. What on earth could the appeal be? Well, God's timing is always perfect. Because the Roman Empire was well established there, there would have been roads built ready to spread the gospel. God knew how hungry people's hearts were for him, and how because of that, they were becoming more aware of their sin, and so they were drawn to John the Baptist. And he knew that it was time for Jesus, this 30-year-old young rabbi, to start his ministry. And of course, afterwards, we see that his baptism, he goes into the wilderness and resisted temptation from the devil, and then his ministry began. John the Baptist's sole purpose on earth was to prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him, as prophesied in Isaiah 40. John's message was a call to repentance. Repent was the first word recorded in the Gospels of John the Baptist. Repent was the first word of Jesus' Gospel. Repent was the first word in the preaching ministry of the 12 disciples. Repent was the first word in the preaching instructions Jesus gave his disciples after the resurrection, as we read about in Luke. And repent was the first word of exhortation in the first Christian's sermon in Acts. And as I prepared this talk, I sensed that God was showing me how important repentance is, and actually how much I had ignored it. It's very easy, isn't it, to remember the pleases and thank yous, but I often forget the repent side, but it's so important. Repentance isn't just saying sorry to God on a Sunday morning at our confession. It's not, oh jolly good, that's me sorted for the week. Repentance goes far deeper than that, and it's a very important part of our daily lives with our walk with Jesus. And as I was preparing this, I had a picture of a blocked kitchen sink. You know, when you maybe this Christmas, a bit too much fat goes down the sink that shouldn't do, and it gets blocked, so you try to clean it and it doesn't work, but you have to get the plunger and chink chink get the plunger, and then the water runs free. And it's a bit like that in our Christian lives. When we're full of gunk, we need to, that our plunger is Jesus, to read that repentance before the Lord, and then the living water, the Holy Spirit, sets us free. And we sang in the first song, he comes, the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. And as I sang that, I thought, gosh, that's exactly what I'm preaching on. That release of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Repentance means to turn away and go in the opposite direction. Now, I want you to imagine, excuse me, if you've got Satan this side and Jesus this side. I'm going to put this down. So as I walk towards Satan, turning my back on God, I walk towards Satan, I begin to emulate him. I'm able to copy him, if you like. And he, it says that he masquerades as the angel of light. He, the things that when doing that are wrong, it, he makes them look good. So we think that whatever, you know, whatever feels good, do it, which is out there in the world, isn't it? But of course, when we turn our back on him and we walk towards Jesus, we start to emulate Jesus to see, and we actually realise, actually, what I was doing there was so wrong. And it says in, and also when we start walking towards Jesus, the devil, Satan, doesn't like that. So he starts saying, oh, you know, he starts filling us with lies. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, or you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have done that. But it says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. All we've got to do is to say, get behind me, Satan, just go away in the name of Jesus. If we say it in the name of Jesus, he's gone. And of course, obviously, the more we get to we walk towards Jesus, the more we emulate him, the more we become like him. But it's a tough journey. And very often, we have, I don't know about you, but I certainly do have this sort of cycle of sin. It's a bit like a revolving door where you repent and then you think, oh, I've done it again, Lord. And psychologists say that it takes 40 days to break a habit, and that includes the habit of sin. And we all do it. I'm sure we all do it. And it's like an unbroken cycle, but the only person that can break that cycle is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not easy. It can be very painful if it's something that we're entrenched in. I've been on my knees weeping in the past, and I had a tough week of God's been teaching me so much this week. And it's tough and it's painful. And it doesn't automatically come straight away. We need to persevere. And as I say, sometimes it takes that long, those 40 days of breaking that cycle. Because repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. They're like a dovetail. And repentance and receiving freedom in Christ go hand in hand. In John 10:10, it says, the thief, which is Satan, comes to steal, kill and destroy. He steals our joy. And he did that this morning. My boiler broke this morning. We didn't break it. Just didn't work. And he was stealing my joy. And I remember God's been speaking to me recently about choosing joy. And I chose joy. And actually, I sort of turned away from that frustration and thought, I'll deal with it later. So he steals our joy. He kills the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And he destroys our relationship with Jesus and others. But in that same verse, the latter end of John 10:10, Jesus says about himself, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want, abundant life. It's difficult to achieve. And sometimes we live it, sometimes we don't. And do we live it? And do we live it within the church? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And I recently bumped into somebody in our benefice, and not from this church, I hasten to add, it was lovely to see, and hadn't seen them for a while, and they said, we've stopped going to church because all they do is moan. And I just thought that was so sad. And I thought, is that what Jesus wants to see in us? And no, it's not. And actually, we're a nation of moaners, aren't we? You've only got to go on Facebook to see how people moan a lot. But we as Christians have the hope of Jesus within us. It's for us to try and turn that round and give them hope and show them that hope that we have in Jesus. Sometimes we're not aware that we do things wrong. And I've got a very embarrassing testimony. I might have shared this with you before, but many years ago, very early on in my Christian walk, it got to the confession. I was in church, got to the confession, and I remember thinking, oh, I've been quite good this week, Lord. In my arrogance, I couldn't think of anything I'd done wrong, and I thought, I must have done something wrong. So I thought, my prayer was, show me, Lord, if I've gone wrong, that's still the arrogance behind it, show me where I've gone wrong. And my goodness, he showed me. He gave me enough to fill up an A4 sheet. So that's a very dangerous prayer to pray. But he did. He showed me. And sometimes we don't realise we're getting things wrong, but you know, he'll remind us of the way you spoke to that person, or you shouldn't have cut that person up on the A47 or whatever. So yeah, dangerous prayer. And to touch on the passage of Romans, when we have a close relationship with God, our identity in Him, and by that I mean we fully grasped how much He loves us, we're more able to love each other in the church, in our families, friends, community, and in our realm of influence. We all have different realms of influence. When we truly repent, and because of through the blood of Jesus who sacrificed His life for us, through His blood and that His death on the cross for our sins and for the forgiveness of our sins and that redemption, we can, and it's important for us to accept that forgiveness, and that can be quite hard sometimes, and to be able to forgive others. So what are our blockages? What's that thing that Jesus needs to get rid of? And Jesus, if it's unforgiveness, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." If it's people that do not know the Lord, they don't know the truth, they don't understand the truth. And so it is important for us, as Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." But if it's a fellow Christian, that's tough. That's tough, but we're not to judge. It says in Matthew 7 to take the plank out of our eye before we take the dust out of our brother's eye. And sometimes when we take the plank out of our eye, the dust from our brother has gone. It says, accept one another, I think it was in Romans, it says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. John's ministry met with wonderful response. There were people who recognised their sinfulness, their need to get ready for the Messiah, and were willing to do something about it. And last week we talked about, are we ready for the coming of the Messiah? And the repentance is one of the first steps. So prepare the way in your heart for the Lord. Make straight the paths for Him. Let us pray. Oh, actually, before I pray, I've got a poem. A poem I discovered. I don't know if anybody knows Malcolm Jeet. Is it Jeet or Jeet? I'm not sure. But anyway, he wrote a good poem called Repent, for the Kingdom of Heaven is at hand. Repent, repent. What can it mean to me? But turn around, let go, release, relent. Unshackle your dark mind and set it free. Your heart always knew better. So repent. Repent the cringing and the compromise, the whole long story settlement with sin, the lowered expectations, the fine lies that kept the kingdom locked up within. Your demons threatened dreadful things, they lied. Repent, resist their tyranny, withstand the false advances, the prince of pride. The king is coming, he is on your side. Rise up with him now, rise up and make a stand. Repent, the true fulfillment is at hand. Let us pray. Excuse me. Let's take a moment to reflect on some of these things that we've heard this morning. If it's unforgiveness, let us pray, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If it's anxiety, lack of trust, it says in the Bible, do not worry, more than 366 times, once for every day. We may need to repent of an addiction, of pride, of jealousy, of lying, of gossiping. Or we may need to repent of an addiction of eating too much, being addicted to alcohol, clicking on ungodly websites. And these addictions can be broken in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's our love of money, consumerism, idol worship, or putting something or someone before our love of God. Let's just take a moment to reflect and maybe ask the Lord, Lord, where have I gone wrong? Knowingly or unknowingly. And from Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.